I'll be reading verses 11 to 19 in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all the 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me just first start by saying, isn't our God awesome? And it's so great to worship together this morning. Just not only as we see the power of God moving through this passage and healing lives, but even just moving in this place right now. What a wonderful and comforting truth it is to know that our God is all-powerful. Can we just focus on that for a moment? The awesome power of God. You know, I was really blessed by the songs we sang this morning by the worship team, especially that mighty medley. I'd never done that one before. Maybe you haven't either, but maybe I could tell you knew the songs at least. But the theme of those three choruses was all about the mighty power of God. The mighty power of God. And that is something we always need to remember about our God. In the entrance to our home, and perhaps in your home, I've seen this in many homes actually, is a sign on the wall that says, "With God, all things are possible." Have you seen that before somewhere? Is that in your home, I wonder? And it's from Matthew 19, verse 26. "With God, all things are possible." And I like where we've placed it in our home, because when you get home after a long day or a long road trip, boy, it's hard to kind of feel good. And some days there's just too many hardships to deal with. And you know, not just having a hard day, but just when you consider all the evil and the suffering in this world. But when I see that sign, it reminds me that we worship a God who is bigger than all of our problems. Amen. And he is stronger, and he wants to help us through each one of them. And your problems may be big this morning here, even bigger than you know. But let me tell you, your God is bigger. We were just worshiping an awesome God. We're going to continue to worship him throughout this morning. So look up from your problems. Look up and trust in him. It is very true, and will always be true, that God reigns in power from his throne of grace. And isn't this truth about God so comforting? God has power over all creation and has the ability to work miracles like the one we learned about today in our passage. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 21, let the word of God continue to prepare your heart and lead you this morning. For in this verse, it says, "God is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes." Do you believe that? With God, all things are possible? In Jeremiah 32, verse 27, we read, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" What's the answer to that? No. So if you're stuck right now and thinking that something is too hard for you, turn to the Lord, because it's not too hard for him. Absolutely. In our passage today that I just read, we learn about Jesus, the miracle worker, the one who changes lives. And he performed an incredible miracle in this passage. And if there is one thing that we see throughout the pages of Scripture, it's miracles. I love miracles. Don't you? What is a miracle? Well, one of the definitions of the word miracle that I really like comes from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. And it says, according to them, a miracle is an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. And to rephrase it, it is when God shows up, right? It is when God interrupts and intervenes in your human situation. It's when God comes with his power to do something that would never have happened unless he stepped in. So, and God, again, only God is, he is the source and center of every miracle, and he is the reason miracles happen. Since there is nothing that he cannot do, that means a miracle is when the impossible becomes possible. And we see that all through Scripture. And we're going to look at that today in our passage today, where Jesus brings healing to these men. Praise the Lord for miracles. Actually, Wednesday night, we had close to 20 youth here, and half of these youth don't even come to church. They've never been to a worship service. Wouldn't that be great? But when I asked them if they believe God can do miracles, they all raised their hands. And I asked them if they knew somebody that needed a miracle, they all raised their hands. So there are people in our world that aren't even following God, but they are wanting to see God move powerfully in their lives. And a lot of people will want to see miracles, but what they also really need to do is repent and turn to the Lord for salvation. So we're praying and continue to pray for God to move powerfully across this land, and through the youth group especially, so that these lives are turning to the Lord for salvation. And just asking him for help. So let's review. Math in the morning. Difficult, but we can do it. How many lepers in our passage had the faith to receive a miracle from Jesus? I heard a few answers. If you guessed 10, you're right. 10. 10 lepers received a miracle from the miracle worker. Jesus told 10 lepers to go show themselves to the priest. And all 10 heard from Jesus and acted upon what Jesus told them to do. And as they went, as the text says, they were healed. They were healed. A day they would never forget. Not just them, but everybody in their community and everybody in their family. So we have 10 lepers in our text who encounter Jesus in a powerful way, but only one leaves with all that God had intended for him. Now, in verse 11 of our passage, if you have your Bibles open to Luke 17, keep it open there. In verse 11, we start the passage with Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. He's with his disciples, traveling on a road, heading towards Jerusalem. And as he is entering a village, we learn in verse 12, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Leprosy was a terrible disease, and it is still a terrible disease today. But back then, they did not have the full medical treatment we have for it today. In fact, leprosy has been a fully curable disease now since the 1940s in our world. But back then, it was the worst disease of their day. The physical effects of leprosy were horrendous. Leprosy, you see, attacks the body, leaving sores, causing fingers to fall off, toes, damaged limbs. And in many cases, the initial pain of leprosy gives way to something more terrible than that, a loss of sensation, because leprosy kills nerve endings, leaving people to have more damage to their body parts that they don't even realize they have because they can't feel it, they can't sense it. And so when you were diagnosed with leprosy in Jesus' day, it was really just a death sentence. It was a long, drawn-out, painful way to die. And it was contagious. And not only did leprosy have its physical, horrible effects, it also had its terrible social and emotional effects. If you had leprosy the moment you were diagnosed, you were removed from your family, from your community, and you were put in a leper colony. And there, you would never have any contact whatsoever again with your family. Your community would be just made up of people who also were dying of leprosy around you. So a very sad, very horrible disease. And in our passage today, these men could have been at one point fathers and husbands, grandfathers, and never allowed to see their children, their wives, their grandchildren ever again. Immediately removed. And so lepers tended to, of course, just roam together, be in those leper colonies, looking for food, begging for assistance from a great distance. Again, because it's so contagious, and by law, they had to make themselves known to people passing by. So they had to learn to yell in a loud voice from a distance so that people could know and be warned that they were lepers. And so that is how they lived their life. So these 10 lepers were just living that kind of life. And then one day, along comes Jesus. Don't you love that about your testimony? One day, along came Jesus, and you were never the same again. The fact that the text tells us that they drew near to Jesus is important. What they know about Jesus, what they have heard about him tells these 10 disciples, these 10 lepers, that Jesus is approachable, that there is someone who could possibly help, and they are believing this. Now, but again, by law, they would have had to stop at a distance and call out who they were. They would yell out, "Unclean! We have leprosy." To be declared unclean because of leprosy meant that the unfortunate person had to, in this time, tear their clothes, put coverings upon their mouth so it wouldn't spread. But they would be calling out, "We have leprosy. We're unclean." When they call out to Jesus, they call him Master. Did you notice that in our text? They called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Why did they call Jesus Master? Again, this kind of helps us to realize that there was already some knowledge about Jesus that they knew, that here was someone who had a reputation. The word Master carried some weight in Greek. It was a word of some honor. In fact, the Greek word for master is a word that speaks of someone who has notable authority, notable power, even miraculous power. So these men use a word that affirms that they recognize the authority and power of Jesus. Again, they knew his reputation. Let's put it that way. They may have known it from the healings and miracles that Jesus had done in Galilee and Judea. People spreading the news. Somehow it gets into the leper colonies. So there they are calling out to Jesus. And what did the 10 lepers shout out? "Yes, Jesus, Master." And they say, "Have pity on us. Have mercy on us." They cry out for compassion. They want to be healed, and they have learned that Jesus is a miracle worker who has the power to heal. So what will Jesus do? He's not alone. He's with his disciples. And they're going to ask the same question. What's Jesus going to do here? Lepers. I am sure they wanted to get as far away as these lepers as possible, to perhaps ignore and avoid them. But will he have compassion on them? What does our text say? Again, in verse 14, when they saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." So that's the beginning of verse 14. That's where we are in our text. So most people, when they saw lepers, again, they would have moved away as far as possible. Go the other way. Go as far away as possible. Don't be seen with them. Don't let anybody see you and talking to them, just in case something is spread and you become unclean. Just avoid them as much as possible, but not Jesus. Jesus immediately shows them compassion and responds. And what does he say? Again, Jesus, he saw them. He looked at them. Jesus moved towards them. And he says to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And I love this about Jesus. Time and time again in the Gospels, as you read about Jesus, we learn that Jesus did not move away from people who were in pain and suffering. He moved towards them. He noticed them. He addressed them. In Psalm 34, verse 18, we learn this about the Lord. It says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed." Another wonderful, comforting truth about the Lord, I pray, that will increase your faith today and bless you. And here in this verse, we learn again that the Lord is near. He sees you. He sees your pain. He moves towards your pain and is with you. And why is it that the Lord is like this? Because I believe he is the hope of the world. Do you? Yes, indeed. Every one of us will we've experienced the hardship and heartache of pain and suffering. And nothing opens you up to the need for hope like your pain does. Nothing gets our attention like pain does, and suffering and heartache. And let me tell you here this morning that if you are in any type of pain or hurt or suffering, Jesus is there. And he draws near to you. And that is good news for us, that Jesus is someone who will always draw near to us in our suffering. And our hope as a church is that we would do the same. Isn't that right? That we would do the same. Because whether you realize it or not, the church is not a country club for saints, is it? No, it's a hospital for sinners. And perhaps you've heard that before. It's a hospital for sinners where we draw together close to the Lord. Because as the Word of God says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. So where is your pain today? And whatever it is, Jesus is near. Jesus is close to that. And if your pain is grief, if your pain is regret for something that you've done, if your pain is sickness, Jesus is always close. So trust in him today. Lean into him. Continue to talk to him through that suffering in your life. Jesus, he looked at those 10 lepers. He acknowledges them as he acknowledges you and me. He moved towards them and then he says to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Go and show yourselves to the priest. It's important to know here in this text that one did not go to the priest until he or she had been healed. You need to really know that about this passage. You didn't go to the priest until you were healed. So what is this telling us is going to be happening in a moment? You see, the significance of the priest in Jesus' instruction is that only priests, according to Jewish law, can declare a person healed of leprosy, clean and fit to re-enter society. So in such cases, the person would have been cleansed, and at that point, it would be fine for the leper to see his wife again, hold his kids again, look for work again, and live in society. That is, if the priest gave him the okay, that is, that he was healed. So Jesus says to these lepers, go and show yourself to the priest. So just help me here. Join with me as we consider what on earth the 10 lepers were thinking the moment Jesus gave them that instruction. Go and show yourself to the priest. And I'm sure the lepers were taken aback by what Jesus said, even a little bit shocked, a little bit confused, looking at each other. Is he joking? Why would Jesus say this? He knows we have leprosy, right? We're dying here. And that's what he's telling us to do. So I'm sure at some point in all of this, this sounded ridiculous. And it's not the first time in scripture where God tells someone to do something that's very odd, is it? We see this all through scripture. In Exodus 14, verse 16, when Moses and the children of Israel were stuck between the Red Sea and the approaching Egyptian army, fearing for their lives, Moses, fearing for his life, cries out to God. And what does God tell Moses to do? He cries out to God, and God tells Moses, raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Is that what Moses thought God would say to him to do? Raise your staff. Just hold up that piece of wood in your hand. You know, the Red Sea is there. You hear the chariots coming. Do what? Can you imagine that moment, how Moses took in those words? You want me to do what with my staff? That's ridiculous. But Moses did. Moses obeyed. He raised his staff, and the power of God, as we know so well in that passage, it split the sea in two, and they were saved. How about later on when Joshua and the Israelites had to cross the Jordan River? When the Jordan River was at flood stage, what did God tell them to do in Joshua chapter 3? They had to step into the water and stand. Again, did you hear that? God wanted them to step into the water of the Jordan River when it was at flood stage and stand there. That's ridiculous. But Joshua did it. It was a very odd and strange thing that God instructed them to do, but they obeyed. They stepped out in faith. And we've seen lots of images lately of high waters and how destructive water can be. So this was not easy for them. And it was not easy for Moses to do either. But they do it. They do it. And God moves in power and provides a way and protects and heals. In verse 14, at the end here, a key part of this passage, look with me at verse 14. So Jesus says to them, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were healed. So that's the key to understanding what happens here. At first, they look down at their bodies after Jesus tells them to do this. And what do they see? The hands of one man are still mangled. Another man looks at his leg, which ends with a filthy rag at the knee. Another man looks at his skin and finds it as repulsive as ever. But there came a point. There came a point that they began to obey Jesus. They get up, they go together, and they start to head towards the priest. Had they disbelieved Jesus and laughed at his commands as irrational and ridiculous, they wouldn't have been healed. But they did believe, and they did obey. They had faith and received their healing as a result. Because again, as the text says, as they were heading towards the priest, at some point, walking towards the priest, wherever the priest was, the healing took place. But again, there came a point as they began to obey Jesus that the healing came. You see, faith is exhibited in what we actually do. Because these lepers believe, they begin to obey, and as they're going to the village where the priest lives, they're healed. As James says in James 2, verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. You get that important point there, that lesson so important for us as we live as believers on earth, is that we need to act upon our faith. On their way, can you imagine with me, picture with me these 10 lepers on their way to the priest, putting their faith into action, a hand reappears. Life begins to come back where there was no life and feeling in a hand or a foot. A crutch tripped on a filthy rag as it fell to the ground. Color coming back. The leg was back, the arm, the fingers, healthy, whole, complete. The skin cleared and the tiny hairs on a forearm turned from snow white to brown. Healing. One looked at another looked at the rest, and then, of course, can you imagine how loud they were then? they had to learn to be loud just for so many years with leprosy, telling people that they were unclean. But boy, the rejoicing started when they realized that they were now not unclean. Who would you want to see first after realizing you were now healed of leprosy? But in order for the miracle to happen, these men had to start walking in faith before their circumstances had changed one tiny bit. And God might just be asking you to do something outrageous today, something different, odd, in order for him to have his way in your life. Will you step out in faith? All 10 lepers realize they are healed. But you know what? As the passage goes on, we learn next that only one comes back all the way to Jesus, praising God for his mercy in healing him. What does the text say? Verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. The loudness continues. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. So this one comes back praising God, and here we learn the importance of gratitude. Here we learn the importance of being thankful and praising God. And the word translated praising in Greek here is the word doxa. And it means to praise, to honor, to glorify. So one comes back, one of the 10 who's healed of the leprosy comes back to give thanks to Jesus, worships at the feet of Jesus. And in this passage here, again, we learn the importance of faith, thankfulness, and praising God. One leper caught himself in the midst of the celebration with the other 9, and then he returns to the healer, the miracle worker. He reverses his steps. He puts his family on hold. He put the priest on hold. And he came back to the cause of his celebration. He came back to the one who drew close to him. I love that, you know, that truth that we learn here about how important it is to praise God. But isn't that what we do here on Sunday mornings too? We're coming back to praise God and celebrate his goodness in our lives. I love that we do this together on Sunday mornings, but we have to do that every day. Come back to the one who drew close to you. Come back to the one who sees you in your pain and praise him. In verse 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? Again, Jesus never commanded that any of them express thankfulness to God or return to him the healer. That wasn't part of his command. But nevertheless, that is what Jesus expected. That's why he asked that question, where are the other 9? What kind of action is Jesus looking for from you today? Has the Holy Spirit been urging you perhaps or nudging you towards some action step? Has the Lord been tugging at you for some step of faith? If he is, I encourage you to follow through on that even before you leave here this morning. The one man who returned got all the Lord had intended for him, not just physical healing. Let me tell you what I mean. All the 10 men were healed of this terrible disease called leprosy. They all received a miracle. In verse 17, when Jesus says, "Were not all 10 cleansed," the Greek word for cleansed here is katharidizo. And it's the root word for our medical word, catheter, which we're not going to be talking about in detail at all. But it too is a medical word in part, for it means remove the impurities. To remove the impurities. So to be cleansed was exactly what the priest would be looking for and would declare healed. And now look at one more word. In verse 19, Jesus says to this very thankful and grateful man, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. The word well there is different from the word cleanse. It has a lot more meaning to it. It's not a medical word necessarily, although it was used to describe a healing. But this word means, in Greek, it's sozo, and it means healed, but also saved and delivered. You know, when Matthew began his gospel, he started with the Christmas story. And the angel told Joseph to name the Christ child Jesus because that name meant that he would save people from their sins. He would sozo the people. When Paul described what would happen to a person who publicly professed Jesus as Lord and Savior, he used the same word. In Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be sozoed, saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved, sozo. And Jesus says to this very thankful man, willing to follow Jesus before his circumstances change. Here he is at the feet of Christ, worshiping God before he returns home. Jesus pronounces a complete healing, a wellness that passes all other wellness terms. This man was healed, saved, delivered. The other 9 received the physical miracle of healing over their leprosy, but this one man received a whole lot more. What God intended for him. What God intends for all of us if we turn to him. If we repent of our sins and trust in Jesus as our Savior. The 9 got what they wanted from God in terms of healed bodies, but they went no further. They never returned to Jesus to receive the salvation of their souls. They received the temporal benefit of healed bodies, but it is only the one thankful leper who returned that our Lord proclaimed, "Your faith has saved you." You know, in this passage, there is a lot of good news, isn't there? There's a lot of hope for us today. The good news is that God delights to show mercy to those who cry out to him. He is abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For as the word of the Lord says, "For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." And each of us here, born into this world, separated from God, a holy God because of sin, we are born spiritually dead. But in Jesus, there is spiritual life, and the only condition to receive God's healing for our leprous souls, for our sinful souls, is, again, to turn to Jesus and to take God at His word that whoever believes in His Son, Jesus, will not perish, but have everlasting life. We are born again because of Jesus, our life, our hope, the one who came to rescue us, the one who sees us. Just as these lepers did not first try to clean up and make themselves presentable, right? They didn't even try when they saw Jesus. They just called out, "Have mercy on us." So we are to come to Jesus just as we are. Just as these lepers had a faith that obeyed Jesus' word, let us also, we must exercise daily that personal, obedient faith in God with regard to His promise to save us from our sins. Let me close by saying, isn't our God awesome? What a wonderful and comforting truth to know that He is the only one who is all-powerful. Can we just focus on that for a moment? There is nothing too hard for Him to do. So if you need help this morning, look up to Him, trust in Him. And we should all respond as the one leper did, glorifying God at the feet of Jesus with thankful hearts.